Without wasting any time, let's turn in our Bible to the book of 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles and chapter number 17 this morning, please. 1 Chronicles and chapter number 17 in the Word of God. 1 Chronicles chapter number 17. And I want to begin reading in verse number 16 for the sake of time. The Bible said there, "And David the king came and sat before the Lord and said, Who am I, O Lord God, and what is mine house that thou hast brought me hitherto? And yet this was a small thing in thine eyes, O God, for thou hast also spoken of thy servant's house for a great while to come, and hast regarded me according to the estate of a man of high degree, O Lord God. What can David speak more to thee for the honor of thy servant? For thou knowest thy servant. O Lord, for thy servant's sake, and according to thine own heart, hast thou done all this greatness in making known all these great things. O Lord, there is none like thee, neither is there any God beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And what one nation in the earth is like thy people Israel, whom God went to redeem to be his own people, and to make thee a name of greatness and terribleness by driving out nations from before thy people, whom thou hast redeemed out of Egypt. For thy people Israel didst thou make thine own people forever, and thou, Lord, becamest their God. Therefore, now, Lord, let the thing that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning his house be established forever. And do this as thou hast said, and let it even be established that thy name may be magnified forever, Amen. Saying, The Lord of hosts is the God of Israel, even a God to Israel. And let the house of David, thy servant, be established before thee. For thou, O my God, hast told thy servant that thou wilt build him an house. Therefore thy servant hath found it in his heart to pray before thee. And now, Lord, thou art God, and hast promised this goodness unto thy servant. Now, therefore, let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may be before thee forever. For thou blessest, O Lord, and it shall be blessed forever." Now may the Lord add his blessing to that reading of the Scripture. Let's bow our heads together this morning in a word of prayer and ask God's help. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful now for a good Sunday school hour, good song service. Thank you for the good testimonies we've enjoyed. I do pray now that it'd be your pleasure to meet with your people. We realize, Lord, that we need your power and presence in the service. We need the convicting power of the Spirit of God in our midst, that sinners might be converted unto Jesus, and God, that your people might find the strength and help that they need in this hour. We do ask you to mend those that are homesick, the physically afflicted, that you'd help them, give them the healing grace they need, those on the prayer list as well. We ask you to bless the marathon coming up on the weekend, Lord. Help us and give us grace in it and victory. I pray you'll touch the hearts of our listeners. May God move on our behalf one more time. We ask you now this morning, Lord, to bless the preaching. Bless the preacher, fill me with your Spirit, with grace, with power and love and mercy, and help me, I pray, to preach the gospel of our Lord Jesus to this people and make this thought known to them. And Father, we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. All right, I believe our text verse this morning is found in verse number 24. Where David said, "Let it even be established that thy name may be magnified forever, saying, The Lord of hosts is the God of Israel, even a God to Israel. And I want to preach on that thought for a little while this morning, on a God to Israel. And you know, if he's a God to Israel, he's certainly a God to you and I who is part of the family of God and those of us that are in the church of the living God. There's no question about it that he is our God as well. Not a God, but our God. And I want to praise him and thank him for that. Now, as the chapter begins, and I'm not going to tarry long on this, but as the chapter begins, we find David with a great desire in his heart to build a house for the Ark of the Covenant of the God that dwelleth between the cherubims. He lived in a house of cedar, and yet God dwelt behind curtains, is what the Bible says. And David had that great desire in his heart to build that house. And Nathan the prophet came to him and told him to do all that is within thine heart, because God is with thee. And so David had that desire to build that house for the Lord. But God spoke to Nathan and said, you go back and tell my servant David that although it is in his heart to build a house for me, it's a good thing that it's there. It's a good desire to be there. And I want to say to you this morning, anytime we have a great desire to do something for God, it is a great desire. And God has blessed us with that thought in our heart. But God told Nathan, said, you tell him that he has been a man of war. He has been a man that shed much blood. And he shall not build my house. But a son that will come out of his loins will build my house, and it shall stand forever. And out of David's loins there shall be a king to set upon that throne forever and forever. And with that thought, it certainly blessed the heart of David to realize that God was going to establish him, not for just a little while, but would establish his throne and his family through the ages. And by the way, David is in the lineage of our Lord Jesus Christ, and he is the one that shall set upon that throne and shall build a house for God that shall last forever and ever. Now, we know that Solomon built that house, but a greater meaning, as the Lord said, a greater than Solomon is here. And it's referring to that house that was built by the Lord Jesus Christ. And that it should stand forever, and it will. And in verse 16, David begins to magnify the Lord. And he made that great statement, who am I? Oh, Rusty Goodman wrote and sung that tremendous song, who am I? That a king would bleed and die for. And when David realized that God had not only thought upon his past and had pardoned him and forgiven him of all of his past, but it also thought about him in the future, it overwhelmed the heart of David. And he sat down in the house of God, and the words come to his heart and mind, who am I, Lord, that you would bless me in such a fashion? Couldn't you, each one of us here this morning, look where God has brought us from and what God's doing for us in the future and doing for us now? Couldn't we say the same thing that David did? Who am I that God would do this great thing for me? I'm telling you, when I think about what Christ has done on Calvary, how he died for me. I said he died for Brother Hall. Thank God he died for you, but I'm glad this morning that he died for me. Hallelujah. And when I think about that, my heart is overwhelmed. And it is because I know what I was when God saved me. And it's just like David said here. He said, thou knowest, for thou knowest thy servant. He said, you've blessed me in a great way. You regarded me according to a man of high degree. But he said, you know what I really am. And God has blessed us even though he knows what we really are. And so David said, who am I that a king would do all this great things for me? And he begins to magnify the name of the Lord. But he comes down to verse at number 24. That's what I want to preach from this morning. And in that verse, he made the statement there in the middle of it. He said, the Lord of hosts, notice this. He said, is the God of Israel. The God of Israel. But he thought about that statement for just a moment, and he said, even a God to Israel. Now, I want to make this statement, and I hope you can get a hold of it. There's a vast difference in being the God of Israel than there is being a God to Israel. Somebody said, preacher, explain that to me. I believe that I can. A woman can be a mother of a child, but that doesn't necessarily mean she is a mother to that child. There's women today that are giving birth to children, and they are a mother of that child, but they'll abandon that child, and they're certainly not a mother to that child. They're not showing that child the love that it needs to have from a mother. They're not concerned about the welfare of that child or how that child is going to turn out in the future. They're not concerned about its life. Some of them will abandon their children and go on their own. And they're a mother to that child, but they're certainly not a mother to that child. May I say the same thing goes for a man. There's a lot of men today that have brought children into the world. And they're a father of that child, but they're not a father to that child. You know, and that can go the same route even in a Christian home. Come on now, stay with me. There's a lot of women in the house of God and a lot of men in the house of God, and they brought forth a child, and they may be a mother of that child and a father of that child, but are they really a mother to that child and a father to that child? Is the mother given the right kind of love? Is the father given the right kind of correction? Are they really a father and a mother to that child? Is that father really providing all that he can provide for that child and doing that, bringing that child up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord? I remember some time ago, I saw an article in the paper. And they had arraigned this man in the area for negligence in child support. And they had his picture on the paper. And he had a big T-shirt on. And on that T-shirt, he had on there, a real family man. And I come to church and preached that morning on a real family man. And, you know, he may have been a father two of those children, but he certainly was not a father to those children. He had brought them into the world, but if he wasn't taking care of them and providing for them, he certainly wasn't a father to them. And what David says here is that I'm glad you're the God of Israel, but I want to go beyond that and say you're a God to Israel. In other words, you are playing the part of God to Israel. You're not leaving anything undone that ought to be done. You are very God. You're the God, the only God, and you're the God of Israel. Oh, I want to say this morning, I'm glad that He is a God to you and I. Brother, if He was not a God to you and I, we'd be in a world of hurt today, wouldn't we? We'd yet be in our sins. We'd yet be headed for hell. If He was just a God for us, hey, I'm talking about being a God to us this morning, not just being the God of the church. He is a God to the church as well. Thank be unto God for that. Now, I started out with 3 points and narrowed it down to one. You'll be happy about that. Amen. And so if He is a God to Israel, if He is a God, He is their Redeemer. He's their Redeemer. Look what it said in verses 20 and 21. O Lord, there is none like Thee. Can you say amen to that? There is none like Him. Who can you compare to God? What person, what individual, who can you compare to God? There's none like Him. Neither is there any God beside Thee, David said, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And what one nation in the earth is like Thy people Israel, whom God went to redeem to be His own people, and made thee a name of greatness and terribleness by driving out nations from before thy people, whom thou hast redeemed out of Egypt." Now I want to say, if He is a God to Israel, then He is their Redeemer. If He is a God to you and I, He is our Redeemer. Thank God. I'm glad to say, the day that I have been redeemed, redeemed and so happy in Jesus, redeemed, oh, how I love to proclaim it. That's right. I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb and a child of God forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed. I'll tell you, the saved of the earth ought to echo that wonderful thought throughout all of their life that I have been redeemed. And God is not only a God, but He is a God to me. He is watching over me, protecting me, providing for me, loving me, caring me, doing all the things and granting me all the things that are necessary for me in this life. Amen. He is Israel's Redeemer. Notice what Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 60, verses 15 and 16. Isaiah said, "Whereas thou hast been forsaken," talking about Israel, "and hated, so that no man went through thee, I will make thee an eternal excellency." Boy, I'm going to tell you, when you get a hold of that, He said, "You that were hated, I'm going to make an eternal excellency." Well, I'm telling you, I stopped thinking about that about you and I this morning. We wasn't much when God found us. But because He is a God to us, He has made us, or going to make us, a great excellency. I mean, He's going to make something out of us. He's not just, hey, God is working on you and I to make something out of us because we have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And He said a joy of many generations. Then He said, "Thou shalt also suck the milk of the Gentiles." Now, I'm going to tell you what, and they have. I want you to come on in the house now and listen to me. Talking about Israel. He said, "You're going to suck the milk of the Gentiles." Somebody said, "Brother Hall, what on earth does that mean?" I'll explain it to you like this. Our country, America, we're not the only Gentile nation by the world, by the word. But I'm going to tell you, America is filled up with Jewish people. You can say amen to that. Now I'm going to tell you, you know what the Jews are doing? They're sucking the milk of the Gentiles. You look at that little nation over there in the Middle East, that's not very large at all. I mean, it's probably not any bigger than the state of New Jersey. It's just a small, small country. And yet there's not any other nation I know of right now that wants to go up against that little nation. You know why? Since 1948, they've been sucking the milk of the Gentiles. And brother, the Gentiles, America, is greatly responsible for making Israel what they are today. They have been nurtured. They have been nurtured and brought up. And God has blessed them abundantly through the Gentiles that He granted repentance unto faith to, and brought them into a state of loving God and a child, being a child of God, as well as Israel being a people of God. Thank God. Amen. Anybody staying with me now? Said, "You'll suck the breast of the Gentiles and also suck the breast of kings. And thou shalt know that I am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob." Now, when everybody looks right up here and take notes, what I'm getting ready to tell you. If He is a God to Israel, boy, these are simple thoughts this morning. If He is a God to Israel, and if He is a God to you today, very simple. There's no need to look anywhere else. you don't have to look anywhere else. If he is a God to you, there is no need to look to the right hand or to the left hand. There is no other God beside Him.
And if He's been a God to you, then there's no need to look anywhere else. Amen.
Now, I'm going to tell you why I believe that is in that book the way it is. When Israel come out of Egypt, from the time they come out of Egypt up until present day, they have been looking and searching and playing with every idol and every false god there is in the country. Come on in the house. They've tried to find another god beside the Lord. I mean, they've looked at idols, they've looked at false gods, they've looked at Baal, they've looked at Ashtaroth, they've looked at just about every god you can think of. And what David is saying there, in Isaiah, hey, there is no other god beside you. And if you're a god to your people, then they have no need to look anywhere else. What people today need to look to is Him. Oh, we're looking at everything in the world except looking to Him. I'm talking about Christians. God's people today need to be looking to Him. Whether we're trying to look at money and wealth, worldly possessions and power. Amen. When we need to be looking to Him. In fact, I think one of Charles Spurgeon's greatest verses in all the Bible is the one I'm getting ready to read to you. He said, he said in Isaiah 45:22, he said, "Look unto me. Look unto me. And be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else." Now I want to ask something. Is He a God to you?
Amen.
Is God supplying your needs? Is God really tell you? Then there's no need to look anywhere else, friend. No need to look anywhere else. I'm so glad tomorrow. I'm glad He's a God to Brother Hall.
Amen.
That is right. I could say a lot of things. He's redeemed me. He's regenerated me. He's restored me. He's birthed me. He's blessed me. At times He's even babied me. Amen. I mean, I could go on and on. He's cared for me. Amen. He's consecrated me. Amen. He's sanctified me. He has separated me. He protects me. He provides for me. He blesses me on every hand, on the right and on the left hand. God is before me. God's behind me. God's under me. God's above me. God's around me. God's in me. He is a God to me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. I'll tell you what David said in the Psalm 48, I believe it was. He said, "This God is our God, even forever and ever."
Amen.
Don't look anywhere else. If He's your God today, you don't need to look anywhere else.
Amen.
Look to Him.
Amen.
Look to Him. Hallelujah. For your needs, look to Him.
Amen.
I was sitting over at the house the other day, kind of in a mully grub state, and my wife shocked my boots. She said, "What's wrong with you?" I said, "Well, I guess I'm mully grubbing a little bit." And she said, "Well, let me ask you a question." I said, "All right." She said, "Have you prayed about it?" Uh-oh, ouch. That hurts. If He is a God to us, then we ought to be praying about it. He is our God. He will answer our prayers. He will grant us our petitions. He will help us physically, whether we believe it or not. He is our God. He is a God to us this morning. Being a God to us, He is above us. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. They're far and high above you and I. Hey, and we ought to look to Him. And hey, because beside Him, there is none else. There's no other God. If He's a God to us, we don't need to look anywhere else. Bless His wonderful name. I want to praise Him and thank Him for that. Hallelujah to God. Now, notice what else He said in Isaiah 46:9. He said, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I'm God, and there is none like me. Now this is going to blow the lid off all you Armenians out there. He said, declaring the end from the beginning. Now, don't you believe God can do that? God said, hey, I can tell you about the end. I can tell you about the beginning and the end. I haven't even got here yet. Oh, I'm glad that our God is a great God of knowledge and a great God of wisdom this morning. Amen. That's right. He knows the ending from the very beginning. And then he goes on to say, I'm God and there's none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times to the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. Do you get a hold of what he said?
Amen.
He said, I'm God declaring things that have not yet been done. God said, I have told you things that have not yet come to pass. Oh, now I'm glad he's a God to me that way. People think that we serve an ignorant God today. The secular world out there thinks that we serve an ignorant God today. I told you in Sunday school about the article I read yesterday about our state is trying to incorporate into secular education, into the school system, a course on biblical studies. And it looks like it's going to pass through our Congress, our representative house in Frankfurt. And if they one fellow wrote, said all this will do is add confusion to people and what they believe. What it may do is vice versa. That crowd don't want God to be made known for who He really is. They want to hide Him under a table and keep people ignorant about who God really is. But I'm telling you, God is the Redeemer of the souls of men. He is the only way to heaven. Unless His way is made known, sinners will die and go to hell. I'm telling you, but if His word is made known, sinners will not only get saved. Let's God, you and I that are saved, can rejoice in the fact that He is our God. He's watching over us. He's providing us. And He's going to end this thing with a blaze of glory for you and I. Are you listening? Thank God. I'm glad He's a God to me, friend.
Amen.
Not just the God of Israel. Baal was a God in Israel also. But they found out on Mount Carmel one day who was God and who wasn't God.
Amen.
They found out right quick that Baal was a God, but that the Lord is God.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. I told him in Sunday school, Brother Joe Teen, in Sunday school, he talked about Stephen. And he talked about Stephen not getting angry when they were stoning him to death. And I said, you know what made that crowd angry and caused them to stone Stephen to death? He made the statement. He said, I told him, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart. He said that your fathers resisted the Holy Ghost. He said, even so do ye. And then he talked about how they had stoned all the prophets that prophesied about the Son of God. And what Stephen had done had preached to them about God, their God that they loved, God, that had brought them out of Israel all the way up to present day. And when he brought them to present day, they were going to have to confess that Jesus was that God that brought them out of Egypt. And they did not want to believe that.
Amen.
Amen. He told them, he said, and what you are betrayers and murderers because you have killed the very God that was sent into the world to deliver you. But they can't handle that. And I'm telling you, the world can't handle that either. They don't mind you talking about God. But when you start talking about Jesus, boy, because they've all got a God. But I'm not talking about a God, I'm talking about my God, who is a God to me, and His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. You can think of me whatever you want to say, but He is very God. He said, when you've seen the Father, you've seen me, you've also seen the Father.
and my Father are one. Hallelujah. He was very God incarnate, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. I'm glad Jesus is my God. Hallelujah. He is a God to me. Thank God. He's loved me. All these loved me and died for me. Supplied every need I might ever have. God's given me everything that I've ever needed in life. I'm telling you, He has, because He is a God to me. Like He was a God to Israel. That's right. Thank God. Amen and amen and amen. How wonderful. How wonderful. We should be shouting the rooftop down. And He said, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. What God has said is going to stand. And you can mark that down.
Amen.
So if He is a God to us, there's no need to look anywhere else.
Amen.
He is God. And by the way, that's what David said. That's what David said. He said, O Lord, there is none like Thee, in verse 20. There neither is there any God beside Thee, according to all that we have heard. He's God. A God to them. Now stay right with me. He's not only a God, we needn't look anywhere else. But as our Redeemer, we needn't look anywhere else. But also as our Redeemer, our life or their life is in His hands. Boy, can we get a hold of that this morning. That our lives are in the hands of God. May I say to you that one of the worst things that a child of God can do is try to work out his own Christian life. Try to take care of things himself.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, if we'll set our life in the hands of God, God will direct our path for us. We needn't, you needn't lean on the arm of the flesh. It'll fail you. You needn't look to man. Man will fail you. I'm telling you, I've known some preachers of late that have failed me in what they do. Come on now. But I'm telling you, God has never disappointed me. I find no fault in Him. He is my God. Hallelujah. I find no fault in Him. Now I'm telling you, my life is in His hands. Life and death are in the hands of God. He can pull out that little silver string anytime He wants to. Had one fella reared back in his chair one night, stuck a cigar in his mouth. Said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. He said, I've got everything that a man would ever want. But he said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. He said, I want a little bit more. I'm going to tear down all my little barns and I'm going to build bigger barns. And I'm going to fill them bigger barns up just like I fill these little barns up. And God spoke to him and said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And then whose will that be that you've left behind? Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm telling you, if He is our Redeemer, you better believe that our very life, our whole life, from beginning to end, ladies and gentlemen, is in the very hands of Almighty God. In other words, He controls us. Come on, boy, I know that's a bad word. I'm not a robot, but He does control our lives.
Amen.
Amen. Is anybody listening? Now, our life is in His hands. Notice what Job said in Job 10 and verse 8 and 9. He said, thy hands have made me and fashioned me together round about. Yet thou dost destroy me. Remember, I beseech thee that thou hast made me as the clay, and wilt thou bring me into the dust again? You know what Job is saying there? Job is saying, you are a God to me. And you formed me out of the clay. You brought me out of clay and formed my life for what it is. But he said, will you let me go back to dust again? In other words, what Job is saying, are you going to let me go back to what I was before you ever brought me out of that clay? Just dust and nothing? In other words, am I going to lose my soul? Oh, listen, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm here to tell you, God is far, far greater than that. I'm telling you, our life is in His hands, and you mark it down. He that brought us out of the clay will shape us and mold us the way He wants us to be, and we'll not have to worry. This body may go back to the dust, but I'm telling you, when this body goes in the ground, I'm going to God. I'm like that preacher over in England. He wrote on his tombstone, said, "But under the sky beneath these trees lies the body of Solomon Pease. Pease not here, only the pod, for Pease shelled out and went to God." Now I'm going to tell you, that's exactly what we're going to do one of these days. We're going to shell out and go to God. Are you listening to me? Hey, he said, "Hey, you're my God. You created me out of the clay. Are you going to let me go back to that?" Oh, no. Our life is in His hands. And what God has promised that He'll do with us, He'll do that. And what He has promised in His Word, He said, "I have went to the grave for you and rose again." Amen. And He said, "Your life is in my hands." And just like I come out of that grave, there's coming a glorious morning. I can just about take a lap right here. Buddy, when I'm going to split the eastern sky with a shout and a voice to the archangel and the trumpet of God, and that body that's there will get up. Somebody said, how in the world is that body going to get up when the soul's already there and the body get up? Where are they going to come together again? I have no earthly idea. I'm not God.
Amen.
But I'm glad He's taking care of that.
Amen.
See, that's something I don't have to worry about.
Amen.
Right. A lot of people worrying about dying. They need to worry about death. Absent from the body, present with the Lord.
Amen.
Why? He's our Redeemer. He's bought us, body, soul, and spirit. We belong to Him. We're paid for. Thanks be unto God. He is a God to us. And what He said He'll do, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
You think He come to Calvary and suffered in such manner, died in such a way, was submitted to torture and torment and submitted to being spit upon and smitten and disregarded, disrespected, and died such a horrible death? Do you think He went through all of that to let us lay in the grave? Oh, no! Praise God, we're going to get up one of these days. Hallelujah. The sting of death is in sin. Now I'm going to tell you, the sting of death is gone. For some of you that may have never heard this, you know when the bees sting you, a wasp and other bees, yellow jackets, them dudes can get you over and over and over again. But you take a little old honeybee, that honeybee flies on you and stings you, you can look down and that stinger pulls out of him and he goes off and dies. But he left his stinger in you. That's exactly what happened to Mr. Sin that day when Christ died on Calvary.
Right.
He said, "I'll get him right here." And he said he stuck his stinger in God. And he said, "I'll just fly." And Jesus said, "I'll just fly away." But when he flew off, he left the stinger in Jesus. And death flew off. And died. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Death flew off and died, thank God. He left the stinger in Christ. Therefore, hey, the sting of death is sin, and He has taken our sting for us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Therefore, sin shall not have dominion over us, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
The sting of death is gone. Praise His wonderful name.
Yes, sir.
It ain't going to hurt to die.
Right.
I don't know how I got off on that. Somebody in here may be getting ready to kick the bucket. God, it might be me.
Yeah.
Amen. Don't amen it, Brother Jerome. He said in Psalm 31 and 15, very familiar verse. He said, "My times are in thy hand. Thy times are in my hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me." Our times are in His hand.
Amen.
What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying, hey, He lifted us. He lifted us. Their life is in His hands. Our life is in the hands of Almighty God.
Amen.
You better believe that's right. And we're just like that vessel at the potter's house.
Good.
Jeremiah 18, when he went down to the potter's house. He saw that potter, get this now, making a vessel. And the Bible said that that vessel was marred in the hands of the potter. That's that sin that entered in. It was marred. And you and I were marred, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Marred with sin. But Jeremiah said, don't get disheartened. The potter didn't throw the clay away.
Yeah.
Thank God he didn't throw the clay away.
Yeah.
But he said he made it another vessel that was pleasing in his sight. And he made it in his own hands. I say our life is in the hands of God like the vessel was in the hands of the potter, and he's making our life what he wants it to be for his glory.
Yeah.
Now I'm telling you, we're not leaving this world till he's done with us.
Right. Amen.
And we will ultimately be that vessel that he wants us to be. And he told Jeremiah, told Israel, he said, am I not like this potter? And you like the clay? He said, can I not do with you just exactly like the potter done with the clay? Somebody said, you're a hyper-Calvinist. I don't give a flip what you call me.
Amen.
But I'm not going to bring God down on our level. God's God, and God is our Redeemer. He is a God to us. He owns us. We belong to Him. And He has the right to make whatever kind of a vessel out of us He wants to make, and He will. We're a vessel in His hands, and He knows what it takes to make us what He wants us to be. Whether it be trial or tribulation or whatever it might be. Sickness, disease, affliction. God knows what it takes. Troubles and trials and persecutions. God knows what it takes.
Amen.
I'm telling you, it says it not in this word, but by the trials and tribulations and the things that Christ suffered made Him perfect, and therefore He become the captain of our salvation.
Amen.
Hallelujah to God. We're not any better than Him. We're going to have to go through it too. If the captain of our salvation went through it, we're going through it too. But I'm glad we're in God's hands.
Amen.
Now, come on now. It may get bad.
Yeah.
But you're in God's hands.
Amen.
Money may grow slim. But you're in God's hands.
Amen.
The economy may, the bottom may drop out of it.
Yeah.
But we're in God's hands.
Amen.
Wall Street can go broke. But we're in God's Amen. Hands. Fannie Mae and Fannie Mac. I better not say what I started to say about their Fannie. Fannie Mae and Fannie Mac can go broke.
Amen.
But we're still in God's hands.
Amen.
And I've got news for you. Our country's not going broke. We are broke. And I give Jim Bunning a little bit of honor for standing up and taking a little bit of fight against that mess. Said, you're going to pay as you go. You got all that money laying over there in that stimulus package. Won't you take the $10 billion out of it and pay the disability benefits and the what are you on?
Unemployment
benefits. That needs to be paid out of the money that's already there. Instead of borrowing $10 billion, that 10 years from now will be $1.3 trillion.
Amen.
Hey, as you go, friend. That's what's wrong with America right now. And I don't know how to go over this. But we've got credit cards maxed out to the hilt till we can't do anything.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We've maxed them out. I'm telling you the fact, we maxed them out. We're strapped down financially. Amen. And we're living on credit. And the country's living on credit.
Amen.
Now I'm telling you, there's coming a day, mark her down, when commercial Babylon, the bucket will fall out of her, and she'll sink like a ship sinking in the ocean.
Amen.
But when it does, amen,
yeah.
God being a God to us, we're still in the hands of God. And God ain't going to say hallelujah. He stands eternal and immortal and gathers us in His hands. And our life is right there in His hands. Bless His wonderful name. Thank God. Amen, 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 amen. Now, they have no need to fear if He's a God to them. Neither do we. They have no need to worry. Neither do we. If our life is in the hands of God, we are safe from harm. We are blessed by His presence. And we are protected by His power. If our life is in the hands of God. He is a God to us.
Amen.
They used to say, well, this is the religion of America. Well, I don't know whether we can say this is the religion of America or not. I don't know if America as a main has got a religion or not. They've got religion, but they don't have God.
Amen.
Not the God I'm talking about.
Amen.
I'm talking about Jesus.
Amen.
Now, I'm telling you, they can put in God we trust all they want on the money. They don't trust in God a bit more than they trust in a billy goat.
Amen.
What they trust in is the money that in God we trust is written on.
Right.
And I'm telling you, that money will go nowhere. There's nothing to back it up. Are you hearing what your preacher said this morning? We are broke, 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 broke. And we're borrowing money to pay for what we borrow. And you cannot, whether a government or whether a church or whether a home, you can't borrow your way out of debt.
Amen.
Care who you are, you can't borrow your way out of debt. It won't work. Now, let me finish up here. As our Redeemer, there's no need to look elsewhere. Their life is in His hands. But also He lifts us, or lifted, to places of honor. I'm so thankful for that, and I know it's starting to run a little late. But notice what David said in verses 16 through 18. David the king came and sat before the Lord and said, "Who am I, O Lord God? And what is mine house that thou hast brought me hitherto? And yet this was a small thing in thine eyes, O God. For thou hast also spoken of thy servant's house for a great while to come. And hast regarded me according to the estate of a man of high degree, O Lord God. What can David speak more to thee for the honor of thy servant?" In the last chapter of this book, you want to turn over there just a few pages over and let me read this to you very quickly. He said in verse 26, "And thus David the son of Jesse reigned over all Israel. And the time that he reigned over Israel was 40 years. 7 years reigned he in Hebron and 33 years reigned he in Jerusalem. And he died in a good old age, full of days, riches, and honor." Now, if I can read that, he died in a good old age, full of days, full of riches, full of honor. What are you saying? I'm saying he lifts us to places of honor. And he even let his son reign in David's place. God does lift us to places of honor. Now, I'm not the health and wealth boys. Don't misunderstand me this morning. But I'm telling you, David was promoted from just being a shepherd boy that he should rule over the people of Israel. The Bible said in chapter 17 and verse 7 here, "Now therefore shalt thou say unto thy servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts,
I took thee from the sheepcotes, even from following the sheep, that thou shouldest be ruler over my people Israel. I want you to get hold of this. I'll run if you won't. I'll hobble. Everybody here is probably pretty warm. But here is a little shepherd boy following the sheep. But when the Lord became a God to David, he promoted him from following the sheep to being a leader of the sheep.
Amen.
Boy, there's a big difference there. From being a follower to being a leader. Now I'm telling you, God can take poor men that know nothing at all about this world and take them from being a follower and make a leader out of them.
Amen.
I could name you men that have become presidents of our country. Have you ever looked at the little shack Abraham Lincoln was born in? God made him a leader of this country. Amen and amen and amen. Have you ever looked at where Ronald Reagan come from? God made him a leader of this country. Are you listening to what I'm saying? And I could go on and on and on. There's a lot of them that come up the hard way. They didn't have money when God brought them up, friend. They had to come up through hard times and through the hard way. They didn't have a goose that laid the golden egg for them every day. They had to work for what they got. Amen. Had to work with their hands to get what they got. Heard one of those congressmen saying the other day, he said, "What's wrong with people today? Are you listening to what I'm saying?" I hate to keep getting off on this, but you need to know it. They're talking about creating jobs. And they have created 83% of the jobs that's been created with the stimulus package have been government jobs. And those on the pay scale on the government jobs make an average of $109,000 a year. While those that are doing the same job on the secular pay scale, I think it was, that make about $60,000 a year. Somebody, and a man said, the difference is in all the fringe benefits that they get. Now, Obama can brag about jobs if he wants to, and unemployment if he wants to, but the thing of it is, our money's paying for it.
Amen.
The government isn't getting any bigger. I mean, little Earth's getting bigger all the time, and it's got to come out of somebody's pocket, and it will come out of ours. In the way of tax, that somebody that's not afraid to say amen, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Exactly right. Praise God. I don't know how I got off on that, but I've been getting off on it a lot lately. I think people need to know.
Amen.
As long as I'm here, I'm going to let you know too. Hallelujah. He went from following the sheep to being a leader of the sheep. God was with David wherever he went. He had his presence. He cut off all of his enemies. He had his power. He made him a name like all great men of the earth. He had great privileges. Notice what it says about in Proverbs 4, 7, and 8. Wisdom is a principal thing. Now the Bible says that the cross, Jesus, both the power and the wisdom of God. So you got to say that Jesus is this wisdom. There's not a thing in it, doubt in my mind that he's the wisdom spoken of in this verse in Proverbs. He said, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee.
Amen.
She shall bring thee to honor when thou doest embrace her. Now, I'm just simply telling you that God can and God will take His people. He doesn't promote everybody to the same thing in the same way. Everybody's not going to be King David. But I'm going to tell you, you're looking at a boy. Can I just reminisce a minute? I'm telling you, when Miss Hall and I started going to church, I didn't even have a suit. I didn't even own a necktie. Son, I'm telling you, I started going to secondhand clothing stores and finding old second yard sales and finding old secondhand suits and neckties and stuff. I went into service down there one day and I had on a pair of yellow pants, a black shirt, a yellow necktie, and a black and yellow striped necktie.
and was going to a meeting with Brother Nolan. We was riding up the road, and he said, "Preacher," he said, "I believe God's calling you into evangelism." I said, "Why is that, Pastor?" He said, "Well, you dress like an evangelist." I thought it was serious. Till one day I bought a white suit, solid white. One of them thin, like, solid white suits. And I was preaching over at Rumsey. When I got done preaching, one of the ladies at the back door said, "Pastor," said, "I don't mean to talk about you," but said, "Hey," said, "you look like Colonel Sanders up there preaching this morning." I was preaching over at Rumsey one day and had on a pair of black breeches. I didn't know the difference. I'm just a dumb country boy. And the breeches I had on, I noticed there's a little bell bottom, but I didn't know nothing bad about it. And when I left that morning, one of the women in the church said, "Preacher," said, "do you realize that you're wearing a pair of disco pants?" I said, "Disco pants?" She said, "Yeah, the bell bottoms, the real tight hand pockets." And it said, "Them's disco pants you got. That they dance in them at disco dances." I said, "You kidding me? I didn't know any different. I didn't have a thing. Are you listening to what I'm saying? I just bought what I could buy and wore what I had to wear. But oh, I got a closet full of suits, hallelujah, and some of them's heart chapter and marks. Amen. Got more neckties than a man's allowed to wear. Thank God. Wear two of them a day, and it'd take me 6 months to wear them all. Thank God's been good to this old country boy. Because he's been a God to me. And I've tried to embrace him the best way I know how. Now, I've tried to embrace wisdom. There's hardly a day goes by that I don't ask God to give me wisdom.
Amen. Amen.
And he's been a real God to me. He'd give me a good wife or run over and kiss her. I know, keep it at home. I would, but she's sick. I don't think she'd like the taste of Germex. I'd have to rinse her mouth out with that, and she wouldn't like that. So, no, I wouldn't be afraid to kiss her. I'm not afraid of that kind of stuff. Don't bother me a bit. I'm just being honest with you. Now, I won't worry about it. I'm telling you people, and I don't care. You use all of it you want, but I grew up the hard way, boys. I mean, we had a two-seater out back, and we'd go out there and use the bathroom and come in and sit down and eat and wouldn't think anything about it. Didn't know any better. Oh, every one of us drank out of the same dipper out of a water. Water bucket. 2.5 gallons, 3 gallons of water, galvanized water bucket. That's all we had. I still remember that little old dented up drinking thing that we drank out of. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you, we didn't run to the emergency room 3 times a week. If we got sick, it was Epsom salts, boy. It was cod liver oil. What's that other oil? Castor oil. Woo! I told them in there the other day, and they thought I was telling them a lie. I said, if we got a cut, you know what Mama does? I said, she poured kerosene on that thing. I poured kerosene on a cat. And I'm going to tell you, you better be sick to go to a doctor when I was a boy growing up. I mean sick. You know something? I wasn't worried about health care back then. But I'm going to tell you, when people started getting, every time they had an ache in their big toe, they run to an emergency room to see what it was. Insurance, and every time you'd go because you had insurance, the doctor would say, you need to stay in the hospital 2 or 3 days and rest. Just kept going up and up and up. And you know who's to blame for it? American people. They don't have a gripe about it. We're the reason for it. Amen. I won't charge you nothing for that. Now, final verse of Scripture, Ephesians chapter number 2, verse 5 through 7. Even so, when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved.
Amen.
And hath raised us up together. What a promotion. When God quickened us, He raised us up with Christ. Thank God. And then after raising us up, He made us sit together with Him in heavenly places. Somebody said, where? I might ask you where I'm at this morning. You said, well, you fool, you're up there behind the pulpit preaching. Maybe to you. But in the eyes of God, I'm seated in heavenly places with Christ.
Amen.
It's not a matter of me going there. I'm already there. Somebody said, how can that be? God lives in eternity.
Amen.
Now, you call me whatever you want to call me, but I'm telling you, in the eyes of God, I'm already saved, sealed, sanctified, risen, and sitting at the right hand of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Call me what you want. That's my book. I'm in heavenly places already. Talk about losing your salvation. You tell me anybody ever kicked out of their chair up there? When He's finished His work, He's set down. And when ours is finished, we'll sit down the side of Him.
Amen.
Because we're already there.
Right.
Amen. Some of you took that, some of you didn't.
Amen.
That in the ages to come, He might show the riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
God has done all this work that in the ages to come, He might stand us up as trophies of His grace.
Amen.
And let the devil and all that lost crowd, that bunch of reprobates march by. Say, here's what my grace has done. Through the kindness. Through the kindness. Aren't you glad
Amen.
Jesus is kind? It's not that He was kind. He is kind. And He loves each of us in this room this morning more than we could ever imagine.
Amen.
He really, really, I don't care what you're going through. Your life is in His hands. He's lifted you. Don't look anywhere else. He's not only a God of the church, God to the church.
Amen.
He's God to you as well, as homes and individuals. And He will completely fulfill His obligations and responsibilities to you. I'll assure you of that.
Amen.
I'm glad He is our God today. And His name is Jesus.
Amen.
Let's stand together.